This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the Governor's State of the State Address. My name is Kelsey Pritchard. I'm the Communications Director in the Governor's Office. And today with Governor Dugard is his Senior Advisor, Kim Balsam-Risden, Secretary of the Department of Education, Melody Schaap, and his Chief of Staff, Tony Venhuizen. For those of you on the phones, I just want to remind you that you can mute your lines by pressing *6. And during Q&A, you can unmute by pressing #6. And for those in the room, when you have a question, please use the mics at the table. But I think we're going to go ahead and open up to questions. So we'll start with those in the room.
Governor Dugard, I'm Keeley with Public Radio. I wanted to clarify the numbers that you're working with when we're talking about more money for education off of the ½-cent increase. I know the phrase you used was that this will generate $40 million beyond our needs for this purpose. So what does that generate then as part of, you know, including that $40 million? Because the Democratic lawmakers say that they'd like more money for education.
Well, I guess I haven't delved into the precise amount that ½-cent raises. I do know that it raises about $39 million plus, rounded up to $40 million, beyond what we would need to achieve the $8,500 average target salary. And Tony, maybe you can address some of that.
Yeah, the estimate for FY17 for an extra ½-cent would be $107.4 million. Property tax relief would be 40, and then the need for K-12 would be $67.4 million.
If I can do a follow-up then, that number is close to the minimum the Blue Ribbon Task Force recommended, but not even quite to that minimum $75 million, right? So how was that decision made?
Why don't you go ahead and address that.
Right. This is Tony Venhuizen. The criteria that the Blue Ribbon Task Force set forth was that we would have a sliding scale for student-to-teacher ratio and a target salary of $48,000. What we found, if you look at the report, the task force also said that the Department of Ed needed to scrutinize all of the numbers that were used for those assumptions, in particular, the cost of benefits and overhead. And what was discovered between the Blue Ribbon Task Force report and now was that the 29% benefits factor is not only covers generally funded benefit costs, but also those that are currently covered by the pension levy, which already generates $19 million a year. So the total cost of the package is actually $19 million higher than that. It would be $86.4 million or so. But you net off of that the $19 million that's already covered by the pension levy. So the cost exceeds the $75 million target. It's just that some of it can be paid for with that other source.
There are $5 million ongoing set aside that would be for specific things that would speak to efficiencies as well as opportunities for school districts to take advantage of. And one of those is for the e-learning center, expanding opportunities for classes in the e-learning center. Another would be for shared services, and that would be not only at the individual district level of sharing, whether it be staffing, et cetera, but also efficiencies that the state can provide. A good example, as the governor mentioned, is what we do with technology and providing opportunities for economy of scale and providing those things across the state. Another piece of that would be $1 million put specifically towards mentoring and an ongoing for across the state, which we heard over and over again in the early conversations. And then also reinstating the funding very specifically for a national board certification for teachers who have achieved that, which was in place and then was cut, and we will again reinstate that.
How you were going to restrict growth on capital outlay?
Sure. The question for those who didn't hear it is, how will we restrict growth in capital outlay? Right now, you can assess $3 a thousand or in property taxes for capital outlay. Some school districts are assessing at that level. Some are assessing at less than that level. Some districts are using a portion of the capital outlay for general operating costs. Some are not under the temporary provisions that expire in 2018. But everyone has the opportunity to assess at least $3 a thousand, or at most $3 a thousand. Some, again, are assessing less than that. What the proposal that I'm offering would do is it looks at every district and it says, what if every district assessed at $3 a thousand? What dollar amount would that create in taxes for them? That is the cap now, and that dollar amount will only grow at the rate of inflation plus growth. So if someone builds a new building and creates new property value, that will still be allowed to contribute. But no longer will existing property whose assessed valuation simply jumps because of increased property tax assessments, no longer will that drive a very rapid growth in the amount of tax that's assessed. So, again, simply stated, we'll look at what each district could assess at $3 a thousand, whether they are or not. What is that dollar amount? And allow that dollar amount to rise with inflation, but no more than that.
You expressed your series about Medicaid and understanding that this is like more of a Republican state. How do you feel the Senate and the House will react to it, and what are you going to do if it fails?
Well, I'm very hopeful. The question was, what will happen? How do I feel? What's the outlook for Medicaid acceptance by the legislature? I think, as I urged upon them, I'm hoping that the members of the legislature will scrutinize the calculations, because some doubts that have been expressed in the past are based on skepticism about the worthiness of those calculations, and I think they're very carefully and conservatively derived, and I think I tried to demonstrate that a little bit today. But I'd like to walk the legislature through that calculation and show them those numbers, and I'm hopeful that when they see it doesn't cost the state any state tax dollars to achieve Medicaid expansion, and yet all these benefits would be achieved without the cost, that they will see that it is a good deal for South Dakota. And whatever their ideology, they should be pragmatic and see the opportunity that has been presented to us.
So the Blue Ribbon Task Force recommended that you be bold. Do you feel you're being bold with your education reform?
I think this is a very sweeping policy proposal. It covers all the bases that the Blue Ribbon Task Force discussed in their proposal, and as I mentioned in the speech and as I've said in other forums, the task force really looked at this in great depth. There was, I know some of you were in the room last year when people raised complaints, well, why don't you just jump to a policy proposal? Why don't you just jump to more money or a simple solution? Well, a simple solution, number one, does not have buy-in from the stakeholders because they were not involved in creating that solution, nor does it have as good a foundation, because oftentimes solutions to which we immediately leap are based upon anecdotes and not based on study of data. And so I think we did the right thing by doing this, by having the study be thoroughly conducted and exhaustively examine all the issues, both looking for efficiencies and economies and equity, at the same time looking for means by which we can increase teacher salaries and make our teachers and our positions for teaching more competitive.
Can I ask one follow-up?
Sure.
So is... you feel it's going to be successful, and is increasing sales tax the best way to come up with the money, or is it the only way to come up with the money?
I think it's the most straightforward way. Do I think it will be successful? Hard to say. A two-thirds vote is always a high hill to climb. And so we were able to climb that hill last year with road funding, but it was very close. The votes were very close, and I expect it'll be the same this year. There'll be some who voted for road funding last year that won't support this. There'll be others who voted no last year that will. And so whether we achieve a two-thirds vote or not, I think it remains to be seen. Really,
the question
was, what is the strategy, or talk about the situation where you are proposing Medicaid expansion and teacher pay reform in the same year. It really didn't occur through deliberate intent. As you know, we've been talking with the federal government about Medicaid expansion for 3 years, and we were quite surprised last spring when there was an indication that the that Health and Human Services might reconsider their previously very firm position against a reexamination of how those who are dually eligible for Indian Health Services and Medicaid, how those Medicaid bills are reimbursed, and how the costs are shared rather than fully covered by the federal government. And when there was some inkling or some early indication that there might be a reconsideration of that, we asked them, really, it was last spring, to talk about that further. And we were really, through the spring and summer months, pushed off, not in a disrespectful or dismissive way, but they were dealing with other states who were looking at expansion. They were working with other states, and they had other fish to fry. And so it was in August when we received a phone call. Kim received a phone call that surprised us when they said, we are now ready to discuss this. In fact, we're going to have a tribal consultation, what, next week? Was that, I think, was the language, next week. And really, we weren't even sure they had been serious about it, or whether they had just said that and were not going to pursue it. So suddenly we were immediately putting together a letter that the Secretary of Tribal Relations hand-carried to every tribal chair to try and outline in 2 pages. Here's what we've been discussing with them, attaching a concept that we had shared with them that kind of explained how this funding situation could present an opportunity that would give us enough money to expand. And it's a complicated thing. I think even the people in Health and Human Services at the federal level didn't quite understand it. Some of them we had to educate about it. And so it's a really happenstance that the Medicaid funding proposal started to come together in the late fall. They issued their white paper in, was it November? October. It was October. Offered comments through October, November, and then they have not finalized their new interpretation of the language that would allow them to change how they treat this funding. But we expect that decision within the next couple of weeks. And so it is what it is. This has come together at this time not because we've been dragging our feet. It's just, it's as fast as the federal government was able to put together their decision. And then once they issued, I should also clarify, once they issued their white paper saying we're looking at reconsidering how we interpret this, then every state that has Native Americans started to comment on it, because this doesn't just affect South Dakota. It was our pitch to them that encouraged them to look at this. But then once they looked at it, they realized just as implications for many states that have larger shares of their population that are Native American, I would say South Dakota and Alaska with particularity, because we're both rural, both have a large percentage Native American or Alaskan Native, and the healthcare delivery is difficult in those two states because it's so remote from the locations where most healthcare is provided. I should say that the populations of Native Americans and Alaska Natives is far away from the places where most Medicare is available. So that's part of the reason why the federal government couldn't just speed right along with South Dakota, because it affected many other states too, not just us.
Do we have any questions on the phone line?
Hey, Governor, it's Jerry Oster, WNAX in Yankton.
Yes, Jerry.
It seems Democrats, of course, they want to do more in terms of taxing. So the sell might have to be on the Republican side in the caucus. How much effort is that going to take? Are you willing to explain it more, perhaps sell it to the caucus?
You're talking about the Blue Ribbon proposal?
Yeah, the sales tax proposal for education, yes, sir.
Yes, well, I think there's certainly some who were willing to vote yes on the road funding that maybe will not vote yes. And so you're probably right, that's where the tax increase will meet its opposition. And so I think we just need to try and make the case that it's worthy, that the citizens are willing. I think the fact that the citizens turned down a tax increase in 2012 is probably attributable to the Medicaid part of it as opposed to the education part of it. If I had to Monday morning quarterback it, that's what I would have guessed. Tony, do you want to comment?
Yeah, I would just add this proposal will only pass with Democratic votes, and they will have to decide if they're going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
As sort of a follow-up to that, then, the Democrats are saying we should do a 1% or a 1 cent sales tax increase and take it off of food, because that will affect fewer low-income people, and it'll generate even more money than we're looking for that we can pour into schools. You've chosen to go with a half-cent sales tax across the board. Tell me why that is.
I think half-cent is plenty. The half-cent will get our average target salary to $48,500. That's within $2,000 of the United States median. The United States median teacher salary is $50,500. And we'll get the South Dakota salary to $48,500 as a target. And that's before you account for differences in taxation or cost of living. If you just take, let's imagine I'm a teacher and I'm earning $50,500 in America, and I need every bit of that money to meet my cost of living. Well, that same cost of living costs about 88% in South Dakota of what it costs me on average. So based on that calculation, we should be promoting a salary of $44,500. $48,500 is a very good, very competitive wage in South Dakota for the teachers, and it will address very well the low salaries that we have here, and it will make us competitive. To do more than that is making a policy choice that I think chooses higher education pay over many other things. It's over the taxpayers' needs. And it's over other policy that might dictate spending those dollars elsewhere in government, if it's spent in government at all.
Are there any other questions on the phone line? Other questions in the room?
Sure. Well, Melody, why don't you, or I can, I guess. Consolidation is a more wholesale, complete combination of two school districts, where both school boards agree that they're going to merge their districts together, and they're going to have one school board, they're going to have one superintendent, they're going to have one school bus system, they're going to have one of everything. They might have one football team. And some school districts share services like a football team without consolidating. And in a similar way, in the academic world, they could share a teacher, or they could share other kinds of services. Payroll, someone running their payroll could be a consolidated service. And so that would be the difference. A shared service, excuse me, would be like payroll. And consolidation, I think when people use that term, they typically mean a wholesale combination of the two entities with the resulting one entity.
Any other questions? Thank you all for being here today.
Yep, thank you, everyone.